I Get on the Bus is a new novel about a middle-class African-American man who joins the Peace Corps and goes to Africa because there's nothing for him in the U.S. After 3 months, he decides his Peace Corps experience is pointless. And although he feels lost in Africa, he won't go home before his 2 years are up. A sudden illness brings him to the home of a healer in Senegal. Here he starts to understand the African part of being an African-American. I Get on the Bus is Reginald McKnight's first novel. His short stories have won the O. Henry Award and the Kenyon Review Award for Literary Excellence. McKnight spent a year in Senegal on a research fellowship. He went there to interview African writers about the influence of folklore on their work. This is a passage from the first part of McKnight's novel, I Get on the Bus.
When I am sick of Africa, I go to a hotel. I always try to find the most Western-looking hotel I can afford. No stewards, bellmen, or desk clerks in traditional dress. No traditional African art all over the walls. I go somewhere that serves hamburgers and fries, pitiful as they may be, where the staff speaks relatively decent English, pathetic as it may be. After checking in, I buy copies of Time, Newsweek, Playboy, the Herald Tribune. I buy a pack of Winston's, Coke or Pepsi, chips, oatmeal, cookies, anything American, junky, too salty, too sweet. Anything not African. I hole up for 2 or 3 days, stink up my room with the cigarettes, the junk food, American sweat and vibes. They'll know damn good and well, I tell myself. A Yank's been here when I walk out this rat box. I try to Americanize the room so deeply they will have to seal it up forever. But tonight I buy only cigarettes. I lurch up to my room, lock the door behind me, and pace, stopping to stare out the window every now and then. It has begun to rain. I see nothing but streetlights, headlights, and the glimmer of the wet streets.
You know, that paragraph has the kind of alienation that you don't expect to find in a novel about an African-American who goes to Africa.
Well, yes, that's true. Evan certainly does have an attitude. But there are African-Americans around who do feel this way, I think. I was always discombobulated. My head was always spinning from... There's just so much to take in. It's just so different from what we see, even in a city with the complexity of New York. There's no comparison, really.
Did you ever find yourself checking into Western-style hotels when you were in Africa?
No, I never did, but I did try to, from time to time, surround myself with the accoutrements of my class and of my culture. But it was sort of a mixed bag. I mean, unlike many people, many Westerners that I knew in Africa, I lived in a village and I ate with families all the time, usually the same family, I should say. I touched everything, I tasted everything. That's probably why I got sick as hell so often, but it was worth it. There are times when there's such an overload of the senses that you need to retreat, and I generally retreated by writing.
You had malaria and hepatitis.
Yes.
When you were in Senegal. Did you use folk remedies or?
Yeah, I did. I did use folk remedies. I went to the malaria was initially treated with a shot of chloroquinine or whatever the heck it's called. And it was just turned out that the person from whom I was renting a room in the village happened to be a physician's aide. And he gave me a shot of that, and it helped to break the fever, but the headaches continued for quite some time, and they still reoccur from time to time. But generally, I drank this stuff called Kinkiliba tea. It's a sort of tea that is sort of a mellow, to me, it has a mellow flavor to it, and I remember it being red in color. And I drank a lot of that. I drank this concoction of a tablespoon of green clay, argile vert, in a 8-ounce glass of water. God knows why. That was for the hepatitis. I don't know. I guess it worked. I mean, I'm still standing up. My kidneys probably don't work as well. But I drank this mud down, and other herbs and things.
Your character has malaria.
Yeah.
And he stays with a family.
What looks where, like malaria, but we're not really sure.
Right, okay. Because so much of the story is a hallucination anyways. But he, we think, stays with a family where the father and husband is a medicine man. And he ends up taking all these African folk remedies, but he's very untrustworthy of them initially. He wants to know what's in everything and what it's going to do. What was your experience like taking folk remedies? Were you... did you want to know what all the ingredients were, what to expect? Did you trust them at first?
They say that God protects babies and fools, and I was both, 26 and a real idiot sometimes. And I trusted pretty much everybody I met, just sort of this, moon-eyed innocent. And I think for the most part, people were very nice and very straightforward about things and honest. And as open with me as I was with them, and then there were others who weren't, and it taught me a lot about people. I mean, I learned how to Africans don't spend and Evan says this in the book. I remember writing this scene. Africans don't spend a great deal of time watching television. Television runs a couple 3 hours a day. They don't spend time playing Space Invaders or Teenage Mutant Ninja whatever. In some arcade, they spend time with each other.
Well, as a matter of fact, in that paragraph that you're describing, he says that that's why they're more literate in how humans are than any other people. And let me read some more from that paragraph. You write, "It's so strange for a black person to leave America, where one is looked through yet feels conspicuous, then come to Africa, where one is most assuredly conspicuous and feels seen through."
Yeah.
Is that the experience you had?
Oh, yeah.
how seen through? What?
People could tell if you were in trouble. They could tell if you were vulnerable. They could tell if you were a dupe. They could tell if you were a patsy or a sap. Or they could tell if you were a very nice person. They just understand people better than we do. We spend a great deal of time in this world listening to scripted language, and reading things and watching things that are, prepared for the public domain. I found in Senegal that the public and the private domain sort of ran together like a double helix. And people understood very often your intent, no matter what you claimed you wanted to do. And I had to learn how to discern people. I had to learn how to look people in the eye. And, I was existing for a great much of the time on a a linguistic level. I didn't speak, as I say, the languages, and I had to learn how to read people. And I learned how to read people by watching other people read other people.
When Evan gets to Africa, the children there call him Tubab, which means either white man or stranger. And it's like he's such a stranger, being an outsider, he might as well be white in Africa in the eyes of these children.
I really think that there are some people in Africa, who think of Americans as Americans, just this general, and some happen to be a darker hue than the others, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're wholly African. There was some distance there, here and there, not with all people, but sometimes I don't believe that referring to an African American as Tubab is meant, particularly by children, as pejorative. I think it's just, you have to sort of take it for what it is. It's a description.
Mm-hmm. For your main character, the trip to Africa becomes part of his search for his own African-American identity. Did it end up being that for you?
I didn't really have those intentions, actually. And I should tell you also that I was very intimidated about going to Africa. I was you know, I had studied African literature in college. That's what I majored in, and that was comfortable. But you know, actually going out into the world, going to Africa, and with the hope of meeting some of the writers I'd been reading, and at the very least, just living among the people who these writers are writing about, I, for one hand, I thought I would fail at the whole project, and in a sense, you could say I actually did, because I never did any of the research. But at the same time, it was a powerful experience for me in many respects, not just in terms of my ethnic heritage, and is still, I think, the central point of my. My work, that experience in Africa, it really changed me more than the military did, more than all the other usual rites of passage that young people make in this country.
Reginald McKnight, his novel I Get on the Bus, is published by Little Brown.